All right, the recorder is on.
Call to order, regular meeting and public hearing, North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, May 9, 2013, at City Hall. First item on the agenda, minutes of the April 25th Planning Commission meeting. We have a motion.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second.
Comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is we have three public hearing items tonight, and we're going to take those one at a time. So we'll start with the amendments to the zoning map. Before I open the
stuff first.
I'm sorry? We did pass the non-agenda. Thank you. I'm sorry. Very good. No, good correction. And we do have a lot of folks from the public, so that's a good thing to stop. Non-agenda. Is there anyone here from the public wishing to speak on a non-agenda item? We'll have plenty of time during the hearing for the items on the agenda. Okay. Good job. Thank you. I'm going to speak dyslexic. I can't see between two and four. Okay. Before I open the hearing on the first agenda item, just to give, because these are public hearing and because there's a fair amount of folks here tonight who may wish to speak, I'll just kind of go over briefly kind of the rules of it. I'll open the public hearing. We'll explain the purpose of the item on the agenda and remind everyone here that the role of the Planning Commission is one of an advisory role. Whatever action we may take is an advisement to Council for further action, and there will be an additional opportunity for input at, once it reaches Council. There should be a sign-in sheet.
Mm-hmm. On the table there.
Okay, great. And I'll use that to kind of generally go down, but if somebody is coming after I've got the sign-in sheet in front of me, we'll certainly make opportunity. When I call upon you to speak, the first thing we're going to ask you to do is state your name and address for the record, and as clearly as you can. The recorder is actually very good, but clarity always helps. For the person that has to transcribe it. In addition to the recorded minutes, which are always available on the website, there are written minutes that will be available at a time after the meeting when they've been generated. After the item has been presented by staff and comments have been given by public, will close the public hearing, and then Planning Commission will go into deliberations, may take action tonight or may not. Once we close the public hearing, we won't take an additional comment unless we ask a question from the public. So let me go over, and I want to do this, we'll do this for all three pieces, commissioners, if Jim's here. Being that we've got three items on the public hearing agenda, I'm going to go over the appearance of fairness qualifications quickly with you. Three things basically to request. If there is anyone here, this is for the public, anyone here that objects to any member of the Planning Commission taking part in the public hearing, please so state that objection. Then I'll ask of the commission members if any of you have a financial or personal interest in any of the affected items on the agenda, property or an issue, would you please state so in regard to can you rule on it in an objective manner, or do you intend to withhold?
Commissioner Lucky has property on Park Street. Be voting on items related.
That would be 4B. Okay. Yeah. Amendments to the comp plan, zoning map, and East Park Street document number 5. Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Presuming as we've never had, no member of the commission has had an ex parte communication outside of the hearing which with opponents or proponents of this quasi-judicial hearing map. If so, please state approval. Great. Mike, let's see, remind me, so yep, I'll open the public hearing on amendments to zoning map in the North Bend Municipal Code 1810 concerning properties on the north side of East North Bend Way between Cedar Falls Way roundabout and Thrasher Avenue Northeast, known as Don Torgerson Request, docket item number 2. Start with staff report.
All right. I just want to thank everybody for coming, and we do have a lot of other chairs. If anybody would like to have a seat, we can just kind of fill in the chairs around the edge of the room. So just to give a little bit of a broader context of what the zoning and the land use amendments are tonight, we've got a what we call our docketing process, which is a process annually by which citizens or anyone within the city can submit suggestions for an amendment to our comprehensive plan or our zoning, including our zoning designations. That's the genesis of the zoning and comprehensive plan land use amendments that we have before us tonight. So these were submitted as dockets that the Planning Commission back in October took up to discuss, to further consider. And so each of these is just a consideration, and that's the reason for the public hearing tonight. We want to hear from the community, what do you feel about this? Is this a good idea to move forward with, or are there serious considerations that the Planning Commission should further consider? So the first one was submitted by Mr. Torgerson, who's here tonight. As a request to upzone his property from low-density residential, which is single-family, to high-density residential, which allows for multifamily. In reviewing the proposal, we did feel that was appropriate to consider a rezone to multifamily based on the proximity to the downtown, being right next to the downtown commercial zoning, adjacent to the park, Torgerson Park behind it, where you generally like to have higher densities living around parks, and the proximity or the location right on North Bend Way and Arterial Street. So we did find it appropriate, and the staff do recommend moving forward with that following consideration of input from the public.
Great, thank you for that. Is there anyone here that are wishing to speak on this particular item? So several. So I'm gonna run through the list, and if I call your name and this is the one you want, just let me know. Go for it. Otherwise, you can pass. Jim Graham.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
I live right across the street.
Could you state address?
Jim Graham, 681 East North End Way.
Thank you.
I live right across the street from Red Oak, which is right across the street from this area. Lived there 43 years. The neighborhood is a single family now, and I think that it should remain that way. I'm concerned about, I assume this means apartments when you say multi-family. I'm concerned about the traffic. Apartments bring a different type of traffic pattern, noise at night. Also, apartments, single family dwellings next to apartments tends to lower the value of your single family property. So those are my main reasons. Increased traffic on the North Bend Way is
just for clarification, when you say across, you mean the south side of North Bend Way. Thank you. Ewing Stringfellow.
Yes, I'm Ewing Stringfellow, 42342 Southeast Topside Road. So, total load consists of 2 or 3 miles. And so we took a hard look at the whole town and had several conversations about how this town is going to grow in the future. And so it is our belief that the downtown business place should be allowed to expand this time eastward along East Shore Henry to the new fire station. The shopping traffic will continue to increase in this area between East Shore Henry and Fletcher Road. This town is not going one way or the other, as we all know. I grew up in Belton, and believe me, it's entirely different than the way it's going to be. Progress just has a way of coming. And in Bellevue, they were very fortunate to have a friend who had a large parcel of property right in the middle of town, and he can buy his parcel. But in this town, we don't have large property owners, so we have a lot of small people that own lots here and there. And it's harder for the city to realize. Plan when you've got all these different concepts of people that use some money. But we think that this is a natural progression of the town business board without disruption of a new residential spot, which the above properties, and not listed the five properties, would become under a special isolated zone of high density residential. We do not believe by having a contiguous downtown commercial zone for one block along East North Greenway dilutes the business from the same zone as being planned for East Park Street. We think this town is going to grow, and it's going to grow from the core out there. It's going to grow gradually along the arterials that lead into it. Commercial growth is constrained now by to the north by the south folks in Palmer River. And this growth needs to be encouraged to the south along Park Street and to the east in a contiguous manner. We would like to go on record to that this public hearing of the above parcel should be zoned by the North Bend City Council based upon your recommendations that this would be a commercial and that the core would be expanded. Years ago, some of these parcels, Mr. Torres, were commercial uses. He told me, I did not know this, is the back of the bike, but there was a garage, an automobile garage in there. There were some other commercial businesses. So we think the best long-term zone today is still commercial. This allows the kind of uses that North Bend expands its business core.
Thank you. Mr. Stringfellow, may I add a clarifying comment that you can confirm? The recommendation to the Planning Commission originally was for a rezone to high-density residential for Mr. Torgerson's property, and you came into the office and also requested that your property be included with that rezone. So just to clarify to the Planning Commission, because they did not have that in their packet.
Yes, that is where we started from. Discussing it, looking at the town as a whole, we would change the position on this. Or should be expanded, or should be
But beyond just the high-density residential versus commercial issue, you also requested to be included in this rezone.
That is correct. And is that the difference between the four?
The four versus
two, the five. So yours is one parcel.
Okay. Yeah, so you look on the map, the four to the west are Mr. Torgerson's. The fifth one, which is right on the corner of Thrasher, is Mr. Dahlgren's.
Can you mouse on those?
Sure. That corner lot right there is Mr. Dahlgren's, which would be added at, if the Planning Commission accepts his request.
Yeah. And one more clarification. Our materials and the reference you've made is to high-density residential. Mr. Stringfellow, you've met, you used the word commercial multiple times. Are you, is your interest to be zoned commercial or high density residential? Commercial.
Because
that's different.
That's what the contiguous property to ours is all it is today. Continuation of the commercial.
Okay. Thank you. And that next on the list is Mr. Ferguson.
Hi, my name is Don Torgerson. My family also comes from the Valley in the 1940s. Got the school here and all that good stuff.
And I'm sorry, Don, could you just for the record your address?
My address. Thank you. 790 East North End Way. Mine's the Green House. When I bought that lot, or the lot that the house is sitting on, that was a commercial garage there. And I bought this in about the 60s. And the property got somewhere between the time I bought it and the present time got downzoned to residential, which is pretty illogical seeing how the street out front is probably the second highest traffic street in North Bend. And that should never occur, but it did. And I didn't get a notice of it in California at the time, making a living. Also, fire on the ground. I think the converting this at least, I have commercial to the west of me and I have commercial to the east of me. And I'm the only little block there that's residential. That doesn't make any sense at all. And it is an ideal. I've been approached by several people, not several, a few people, wanting to buy a lot there for commercial things. One is a restaurant, one is an office building. It's a good location for it. You get high traffic. But it's also a good location for multiple residential, for senior housing project, not for apartments, but for senior housing project, because you've got medicals within walking distance, you've got Red Oaks close by, you've got shopping at QOC, you can walk down there, and it's possible that the city of North Bend might consider allowing golf carts to be street legal in North Bend, and people could actually commute back and forth, because some of the cities are doing that now. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that or not, but it's a viable way, and cheap. And you lose your driver's license, you're so steep and still you run your own car. And that does happen. But anyway, I would encourage you to rezone it to something that's more usable. Right now, single family is eligible. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's a high traffic collection. I take sometimes 5 minutes down my driveway. It's just one of those things. We used to produce stuff in North Bend, we used to have wrap products, and now we're something like a little bit. We're a subdivision of Seattle based, we're a housing project for Seattle. And I would think commercial is still the highest and best use for the property because if you're looking for traffic and exposure out there, you're going to have commercial, you're going to have some exposure if you're going to sell your products. And you don't have it in the same traction, it's just not the same way. It's a second largest busy street in town. But I'd be very happy to make it multi-residential. It's better than single family because it'll never settle single family. No way. It's just not a single family property. And I am a commercial real estate appraiser, but that is what I really got as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, if you have any questions, I'd try to answer them.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mike. You've been very helpful.
Wendy Thomas.
Hi, I'm Wendy Thomas, 729 East North Bend Way, North Bend, Washington. My husband and I, Brian, live across the street from the driveway for Ferguson Park. And when we initially purchased our property, our thoughts were that at some point, just given the nature of the property, that there would probably be a transition of this nature at some point. We have mixed feelings about the development across the street. It's tied to sort of an unrelated but related occurrence, which is that because that property has sewer, it is able to ask for this rezone. And our property, for one reason or another, we're actually really sort of mystified as to how this happened, was left out of the ULID of the city when it was taking place. And both my neighbor and I both approached Ron Garrow, the public works director, about being included in that ULID, and were told that we would not be included. And I, for what reason, I still to this day do not understand, because it's a very, very critical piece of commercial potential commercial property from an economic development standpoint. So because we do not enjoy the same benefits of that infrastructure improvement, we cannot enjoy the benefits of the transition that is trying to be accomplished here. We will have to continue to have a single family residence there because our property does not enjoy that improvement in potential value, because it's potentially be changed to some other sort of higher density or commercial zoning. So our concern is, because we will remain residents there, that will potentially very much change the nature of our neighborhood as a single family resident. I realize that there is a need for more housing, you know, apartments and affordable housing, and anticipate that change. But it's hard for us on the opposite side of the street to see that sort of a opportunity not being mirrored on the other side of the street because of an oversight. Yeah, it was actually pointed out to the city, but not rectified. So there's this donut hole in the middle of the city there that enjoys no sewer. So we have serious concerns about the progression of that project and what it would entail because of our necessity to stay there.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Our lodge is...
Brian Woolsey.
Mm-hmm. I just want to reiterate what Frank said. We're kind of restricted as to what we can do with our property. Are concerned with how the development progresses across the street. Senior housing sounds great, but things do happen.
There's no development proposal on the table, so we have no way of knowing what's actually going to occur in that piece of property.
Yeah, and just before you say, they have all good intentions, but down the road, if this does not materialize, then there are no restrictions. And I suspect that there are no restrictions between senior housing and anything else that might go in there. We have our concerns.
Thank you. And just clarifying for the record, it is Wendy is your wife, so therefore the address is the same. Nancy Randall. Do you wish to speak on this issue?
No.
Is she here?
Yes.
Okay. No?
Not on that issue.
All right. And Jim Randall?
Not on this issue.
Thank you. Travis Bridgman?
I'm Travis Bridgman. I live at 713 Ogle Avenue. And at this moment, actually, I'm happy there's so many public people here. I'm just interested in listening and learning.
Okay. Thanks, Travis. Greg Roth?
That's me. My name is Greg Rothy. My address is 129 Thrasher Avenue. They actually point out which lot that is on the map.
I think you are. Are you that one?
Correct. Okay. So, obviously, a rezone here has a huge impact on our property. I just have some very significant concerns, I think one of the things that I did in preparing for this meeting is I went and I looked at the city mission statement and the city brand statement, and a couple of statements in the North Bend city mission statement stood out to me. One of them is that maintaining the rural character of the community, and I don't think that rezoning lots, you know, right next to you know, a park and other residential properties maintains that sort of rural character. Another is your city brand statement says we're the small town that's creating the premier outdoor adventure destination to Puget Sound region. I don't see how this, you know, moves us in that direction. Now, and I know a lot of people say, well, the city's got to grow, it's got to grow, it's got to grow, and I'm not necessarily, I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, the city was under a 10-year building moratorium, and during those 10 years, the people that came to live here because they liked the small town character, they liked the slower pace, and most of my friends and neighbors that I speak to on issues like growth say, we like it the way it is. We don't want to become disappointed beasts. So I don't think that, it, you know, I don't agree with the idea that we have to grow just to grow. I don't think that's smart. I think there's some other serious considerations with rezoning this property as well. Among them are the fact that this area along Torgerson Park there is a FEMA Special X flood zone, and increasing the density right at that point would seriously impact rainwater drainage and other flood concerns. There's I know that in the statement you guys mentioned that you would be able to comply with the 2009 King County Flood Hazard Mitigation Regulations. I don't see how you could, if you're talking about building large structures on land that sits immediately above land that's already drainage challenged. It's going to, first of all, the land that's there is going to currently absorbs rainwater. And if it's paved, all that rainwater will run off. Where will it run off to? Or run off to the surrounding properties that already struggle with drainage. And as well as the physical weight of the structure, squeeze the earth underneath it like a sponge, making the aquifer underneath less able to hold water. There's actually Silver Creek runs through Trent Torgerson Park, and although we've been dry for it's been at least a week, right? There's been no precipitation whatsoever. There's still standing water in in several of the drainage areas in Torgerson Park. So that's I just bring that up as a representation of the drainage challenges that are there, and this is a significant change to the ability of this ground to handle precipitation and the appropriate flood waters. The last thing I want to bring up is that Torgerson Park and this area here is a wildlife corridor. There are regularly elk in our backyard. There's elk scat, and along with that, many other wildlife that follow the elk through. We've seen cougar scat and even on occasions bear scat. So there, because of the need of the wildlife to move between the forks of the river, the Torgerson Park is one of the last remaining green spaces for the wildlife to do so. And if we plug it all up with high density residential or commercial, especially commercial zones, the wildlife's not going to have anywhere to go. And those are serious concerns. So I guess in closing, I just wanted to say, from where I stand, I see a long list of potential negative impacts and very limited upside to making this change. And I just want to reiterate, the people that live here in this town live here because it's a small town. And we like it that way. Thank you.
Thank you. One note, and I don't know if your wife, Cassandra, is here tonight. Are you speaking as well? I just wanted to mention I also had your comment letter that we received via email and passed it around to the Planning Commission. They received that via email earlier.
Okay.
Cass Brewster.
Cassandra Brewster. No, sorry. I'm at 129 Bratcher Avenue Northeast as well. I would echo, and very much did, in my email comments sent to the Planning Commission. I understand, and I understand Mr. Stringholm and Mr. Ferguson are at with their property, but it leaves all of those properties along the backside of the park, along Thrasher Avenue Northeast, stranded. Our property values will never be the same. Whether it's whether it's high density residential or it turns commercial. And that changes the environment, the quality of life for myself and my family. And one of the reasons why we purchased that property almost 3 years ago now is because it had the low density. There was elbow room between us and North Fenway and the commercial district. Yet we still had good access to the rest of town. That will change, and I think it would be a negative impact to just not only my family, but the whole street. Most seriously though is the flood risk. I mean, I have the highest flood insurance rate in the nation right now, and I pay it because I love where I live. But if more development goes in, and I'm already kind of holding my breath because the fire station went in, which I agreed with. I believe, yes, we needed that. But I'm waiting for the next big atmospheric river to come in and hit us and see where our drainage challenge neighborhood is going to be, because now there's more cement and there's less place for the water to go. Where that fire station was, it was a big old swamp after a good rain. And where's that water going to go? It's got to go somewhere. Right now, it's in my driveway when we have a good rain. And that's not even a flood event rain. And the folks that are kitty corner across, we don't enjoy the sewer either. So I don't see some benefit there as far as getting more ability to move that water. They repaved our road when they did put in the utility district. It went right down the street and they repaved the road, and instead of paving it towards the east, the way the road had been originally designed, they crowned the road. And so now that water, instead of going into the drainage dish that goes along the Forest Service land, goes into our yards. So we're already seeing development that's negatively impacting our property. So I'd like to see if there's something else that can be done.
Thank you. That's the end of the list that I have here. Are you Ed Thomas? Okay.
But I don't have any.
Okay. Different. Okay, yeah.
Hey, Mike, do you have quick access to where the sewer lines are? Do you have an overlay you can see on that?
No, I don't have that.
Did I understand you say your whole street is on septic?
That's correct.
What size are the lots, typically?
Mine is just, our property is just under a third.
That pass today?
No new development would be allowed without connecting to public sewer.
So then am I to understand that the properties that we're talking about, that they are on sewer or they're not?
I don't know. Mr. Ferguson, do you know, are you on sewer with your house?
No, I'm not. Sewer is available to us, but we're not hooked up to it. Most of us have septics in that area.
I think what we're discussing is the difference between being within the ULID and not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It's right across
the street. Right. So on the...
Can I
have a question here. And, just made a comment that everybody on that street has the ULID available to them. That I have to say that's incorrect.
Yeah.
I inquired of one Carl about myself, and I told that I was told that, that we could not be included in it, that the process had gone on too far, and
And you're on the south side as well.
I'm on the south side.
Correct, Mr. Graham. Yeah.
May I also add a comment, please?
Certainly.
Yeah, 851 East North Bendway on the south side of Bendway.
And your name, ma'am?
Young.
Thank you.
Yeah. Way back when we talked about sewer in North Bend, I'm a little resident here. We've been on the same property since January 5th, 1952. And at the time when they first started talking the sewers system, I stood up in the council meeting and asked about service for our site. And I was put down by the engineer, oh, you couldn't afford it. I thought we couldn't, no. That's all I can say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm 82, but I'll always be young.
You're here. Is there anyone else who would wanted to speak on this hearing item? Okay. No one else? I'll close the public hearing on item 4A, and that's to the zoning map and North Bend Municipal Code 1810 concerning the East North Bend Way between Cedar Falls Roundabout and Thrasher Avenue. And with that, we'll open public hearing on item B, amendments to comprehensive plan, land use designation, and zoning map concerning properties on East Park Street, docket item number 5.
And I'm going to zoom in on the map over here a little bit. You can see, scrolling over to Park Street, see if I can zoom in a little bit more on this. And the same for the last one. The properties that are shown in the crosshatching in blue there, those are located within the hut. Yeah. So you can see on Park Street, these properties with the purple-blue crosshatching are currently in the high-density residential zone, and they are also in what's called the Limited Commercial Overlay District. And that overlay district was the subject of a docket 2 years ago, again a request by a citizen to amend the zoning. At that time the request was to change the zoning to commercial. They had interest to open a chiropractor office and wanted to change the zoning to commercial at that point. Because our comprehensive plan can only be opened once a year by state law, we couldn't do that amendment at that time, and so the limited commercial overlay district was formed as a kind of a stopgap measure for them. That limited commercial overlay district allows uses that are not retail-oriented commercial uses, such as attorney's offices, doctors, dentists, and so forth. The question was raised at the time, though, what is the appropriate designation for this particular street? This is on Park Street, and Park Street is getting increasing traffic since the stop sign was taken out and the stoplight was put in on Bendigo. And so there was consideration of whether or not this neighborhood should be rezoned to the downtown commercial zone, as is the rest of the historic neighborhoods surrounding the downtown core in North Bend. So staff considered this and feel that that is an appropriate redesignation, again, after we consider input from the public. Because of the proximity to a busy street, Park Street, and proximity to the rest of the downtown core.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public here wishing to speak on this item? Go ahead. Name and address.
Jim Randall, 315 East Park Street, Unit A2. Yeah, I was really surprised to get this letter back in April about this rezone. I had a couple of questions. Since a privately initiated zoning amendment, is that not relevant anymore? Or?
This one I don't believe was a privately initiated. It was
initiated zoning amendment to allow.
The original docket request, which happened 2 years ago, was a private initiated amendment. In the review of that process, the question came up of whether or not the district as a whole should be considered for redesignation to commercial.
Yeah. But the particular item before us today was brought by staff.
So basically, the Planning Commission feels like a change from Midas was residential to downtown commercial is appropriate. Myself, I don't feel that's appropriate. I sort of agree with Bruce over there. I moved here from a small town character, and I was sort of happy when the building moratorium was taken off, because now we're developing 600 that street. There's a couple of commercial uses on that street right now. With residents, people are living there. There's apartments, single family dwellings, a couple sets of apartments, and of course there are condos. So I can move all that. And I feel like commercial development on the streets will make our property values go down and make living on that street harder. Mentioned here in the findings about traffic, about how commercial traffic is during the day and residential traffic is peak times. Now we're going to have traffic on that street and parking problems all the time, rather than just at night, in the morning and the evenings. Because when the day is cooling, when the going to businesses and the night when we come home, we have parking problems on that street now already. There's not a parking lot for the residents that live down. So my concerns are losing the small town character, my property values going down, and the impacts of the commercial development on the street. Mentioned here that the traffic picked up on Park Street because of the traffic light down there at Bendigo on Park Street. I disagree. The traffic picked up because the changes were made to North Main Way to make it less prone to traffic. But now people go to Park Street without east of town rather than taking North Main Way. Of course, that could have been a long time ago if you looked at an interchange between Exit 31 and Exit 34. But that's not that. Thank you.
Sir, I'm just to clarify, you're on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. Nancy, did you want to speak?
Sure. I'm really dismayed about what you're proposing here. And one of the reasons I am is because I've got a very good example of what you people mean by development to look at every single day. And that's where you pour out the five houses and are going to put in the barbell drugs. I don't know if that's what you want to do to the rest of Park Street, but I can't believe that if you put in any more commercial establishments in there, I don't think we're going to be able to give away our condo if we ever want to move. I don't think anybody's going to want to move in there. I think it's just, the traffic is a mess, and in the morning when I walk down to catch the bus into Seattle, you've got all kinds of people that go zooming through there, 40, 50 miles an hour, and there's nothing to stop it. And I always hope that they know where the road is and that they don't come into the sidewalk. And I think we've already got enough commercial development on that street. How much more do you need? You don't want it on your street. I'm not saying not in my backyard, but I think Park Street has had its fair share. I think it's time for somebody else to have the commercial development come to their street. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on this side? Sorry?
I don't have a name on this, but I have a question.
Yeah, you're welcome to take part in the hearing. You just need name and address.
I have my name on the list. So.
Yep.
My name is Colleen Murphy. I live at 315 East Park Street. You indicated that it's going to be commercial, and whatever public hearings, I don't know that they sway your mind. However, my question is the traffic on that street. So we as a community chose to put up a mirror so that we can see oncoming traffic, because regardless of what's printed on the ground of Do Not Park, the parking is so bad that people park along the street, so we can't see getting out. On a bad morning when the mirror is fogged, literally you take your life in your hands taking a left coming out of our street. So you creep out and you pray that no one's coming on to hit you. But what, as a planning commission, and I may be wrong as to what your job is, but is it your job as well to plan for the traffic on that street and to stripe the street and to bump the street to slow down the people so that if it's going to go commercial, how do we live cohesively with commercial? I don't know, can you answer that? It is as just general conversation as what you might have had with how that works together. Even maybe not with this community, but how does, as a planning commission, how does that work together?
I can provide just a yep. So if you're talking about just transportation planning as a whole, we have our transportation element for our comprehensive plan, just like a lot of this fits into our land use element for our comprehensive plan. And that's looking at what are the needs for our transportation system as we continue to grow as a community. And that identifies specific projects on a capital improvements plan that over the course of the years, the city will fund the projects on that list. Those are often derived from public input. On the other end is when development occurs, each development has to show that, or it has, first of all, it has to pay traffic impact fees, which are intended to go to address projects on the transportation improvement plan. And then it also has to do what's called the concurrency determination. That shows that it's not creating impacts to city services, one of those services being streets. So for instance, when the Park on Drugs went in, they had to do additional improvements creating a turn lane off of Bendigo, so if they're not backing up traffic on Bendigo. Oftentimes it's improvements to intersections, traffic lights, sidewalks, things like that, to make sure that it's not creating additional impact.
Okay, so Park Street's not very long. I don't know how long the street is. But let's say that goes commercial. It's not wide. So there's no way, the way it's constructed now, that you're going to get an extra third lane to turn lane in there. So do you think through that? And that, you know, this has got to be wider. So if we're going to make this commercial, everybody along that way is going to have to give up an extra lane on either side, half a lane on either side of their front yards to make this so that everybody on that street doesn't be killed coming out of the businesses as well, not just the residents.
One other thing to add is any business will have to meet its own parking requirement for the parking standards.
But their businesses, we're already there at 30 units. We have no parking in our units, none. So we're parking on the street, and now you've given away all of our parking commercially.
And again, this whole process is to get the input from the community.
That's why I asked the question.
Love to share, Mike. And I would just add that one of the differences that I heard in your question was around the specifics of how the streets and such get done versus what does the Planning Commission look at and consider. So we're more of a policy organization, and so what where Mike's been focusing on specific projects and how they get onto the list and the city takes care of them. What comes to the Planning Commission is looking at the overall standards for the community as a whole and what are the appropriate street standards in regard to widths and the amenities that go with those streets. And so that gets set at a policy level that the staff then applies as development projects come through.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I would just echo, I'm Donnie Anderson. I live in the Sunview condo complex, Park Place complex, 315 East Park. And I would echo what Colin said about the parking and traffic on that street, because it's already something that we deal with. It's pretty considerable as is, and to add a commercial element there, it's just something I think really needs to be analyzed for sure. I mean, as far as impacting property values, where's the closest thing to downtown? We got a park for backyards. I don't know. Maybe it would increase property values, but the I think commercial, and I can understand the desire for it, but I think a lot of analysis and thought has to go about doing it in a smart way, especially with the parking and the traffic through there. Because it's almost turned into, I mean, it's people ripping down that road. Anything to slow people down. And I would imagine if I was a business owner, I wouldn't let people rip through there either. And I would want to have people, able to park to accommodate my business. So that's my two cents. Thank you. Thanks.
Well, one more round. If I missed anyone. Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing on agenda item 4B, amendments to the comprehensive plan land use designation and zoning map concerning East Park Street. That item number 5. And with that, we will open the hearing for item 4C, amendments to the comprehensive plan land use designation map, zoning map, and North Bend Municipal Code 1810.050 concerning 12727 and 12805 412th Avenue Southeast. This is a docket item number 12 at the request of CenturyLink.
I'm just going to open up the staff report. I just want to show the photo.
So this one is a docket that was received by CenturyLink. CenturyLink owns the commercial building that you see in the left photo there, and this is located on 412, just south of Safeway. So the South Fork Avenue Southwest, which goes behind Safeway, if you continue on that, it becomes 412, and these properties are located back there. They submitted a request to rezone or to change the comprehensive plan land use designation from residential to commercial, and accordingly the zoning from low density residential to interchange mixed use commercial. The reason behind that is they have a commercial building already on the property and they're interested to sell it, and they wanted to be able to market it for commercial uses. It could be continued to use as a commercial use because it's a grandfathered use, but it couldn't be changed to another use inconsistent with the zoning. So they've requested that it be rezoned. Staff considered that and felt that in this case it's located on a kind of a dead-end street, a little bit removed from the rest of the commercial area within the interchange mixed-use zone. And so, but also acknowledging that it does have an existing commercial building, as well as the adjacent property, which is owned by AT&T, the photo on the right there. We felt that it was appropriate to rezone it to commercial, but with some restrictions. So therefore, some amendments were proposed in our zoning code. We have a table of performance standards, and performance standards were added to limit the intensity of commercial uses to uses that are not the highest retail type of uses. So we have a list that was prepared and is in the Planning Commission staff report of uses that otherwise were allowed in the interchange mixed use zone, which would not be allowed on these two properties given their context.
Great point.
Maybe
pull up that.
Yeah, the map. The zone itself Yeah, the zone itself is called interchange mixed use, which allows both residential.
Can you give an example of what kind of mixed use would be the west side of the
floor? Let me get the map here. So everything that you see in the blue there is in the interchange mixed-use zone. So that's Safeway, that's the Mormon Church, and there's an empty commercial lot right on the corner there. What that zone allows is both residential and commercial uses. It doesn't mean mixed-use as in you have to do a mixed-use project. It just means that it's a mix of residential and commercial uses. That would be a potential allowed use within that zone, but not on these properties. That was one of the uses that we felt was not appropriate for this context.
So that is not.
It's within what is being proposed by staff as a restriction, meaning to not allow protests.
So what would you allow?
What would be allowed would be general offices, and I can go back to that staff report.
Because if you look at your map, I'm Ed Thomas, I live on 412th Avenue Southeast.
Thank you.
You can pull that map back up.
Sure.
This is my property right here. This property's been for sale. I've been here for 15 years. I've been a resident of the Valley for 27 years, and I probably work for a lot of you people who can't stand because progress is going to happen. I work for John Day Homes. And I was born and raised in Issaquah, fifth generation. My grandparents, great-grandparents moved to Lake Sammamish, there was no lights. My grandfather drove his 32 Ford across the lake. Things have changed. I can't afford to live in Issaquah. The property taxes on my family property on Lake Sammamish was $26,000 a year. It had been in our family for over 100 years. It's gonna happen. So if you're gonna do this here, like Wendy was talking about, the sewers on one side of the road, we put in sewers. That's what I do for a living. Progress is good. It is, to a certain degree. But if you're going to allow these people to get access to sewer, then you need to let the Baines and, you know, my property, this property, and then if you're going to do that, why can't we go from low density residential to high density residential if you're going to put sewers in?
Just one clarification. This doesn't have to do with provision of sewers. So any area can form what's called a utility local improvement district, which is an agreement by those property owners to pay for extension of sewer. So that's a process separate from this consideration of
sewer. Sure. Right. I mean, we're not on the hook to hook into the sewer, but if they're on the road and our septic systems fail, then we are obligated to hook in, correct?
For new development, connection to the sewer is required. Yeah.
So for an example, on those properties on the west side of 412, what we're talking about, offices and the corner there by the Mormon Church, that could possibly be a hotel.
That could be under current zone, yes.
And they're going to do one down around the corner, but that's changed a little bit according to my boss because it floods. And so does everything across the street from me. Mm-hmm. My neighbors, the Gallaghers, who lived there since the 50s, every time I got three classic cars in my garage, and every time we get high water, I'm sweating bullets, and my wife can't get home from work because the road's flooded. But our property's not wet. I call Roy Gallagher, and he says, don't worry about it. It's never been wet. But across the street at the CenturyLink building, it gets wet every time it pours. Yeah, their water retention program up here sucks. John Day had to put, I don't know, $500 million system, infiltration system at Tannerwood or more, huge vault. I mean, what's your guys' program for downtown? You're certainly not going to put it through that sort of treatment.
against Obama, you probably know, but certainly not like that. And that thing's been around as long as these guys.
So, just for a little bit more information on stormwater, any new development has to meet the city's stormwater regulations, which includes the King County Surface Water Design Manual.
And again, I put the name for a living, so I'm well aware, and these people have a legitimate crack. They're getting rained on. The city of North Bend didn't do their math or stick the contractor who did that work. It should not be going onto their property. It should be going into a system, into an infiltration system that's going back into the aquifer or into the environment and not serving into the backyards.
Correct, and that's a part of review under the surface water design.
Right. I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers in my backyard on Vivian Rogers' property, that big. I mean, I got an acre close to. She's got 3.4 acres. The Army Corps of Engineers, I think those are the drainage canals, the squiggly lines through there. Mm-hmm. Anytime I see a dump truck coming down our road with a load of dirt, you know, we can't change what the Army Corps put in, because that's our drainage on that road. You know, we can't bring in a bunch of fill. So, I mean, to do something on that corner lot, because you know, I've lived there for 15 years, I have a much larger pickup than most. I can get in and out of it, but you can't get around that corner when it floods. And a 100-year flood is every year.
That's right.
So, with that being said, if it's businesses, great. It's a Holiday Inn, you know, if we're going to have a hotel around the corner, and on the weekends, or if we got a festival up here, it's stupid. I go up to the next stage and come back this way. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we got the number one McDonald's in the state. So, I mean, some of these people, like Wendy and Brian, they have a legitimate right. I mean, if you're going to do commercial on one side, would you just give them a break or high density? Let them be able to sell their property and develop it, get rich and retire, and move to do something.
Bless you.
Well, I mean, I agree. You know, if you guys are going to do something across the street, and hopefully Fury Siteworks gets to put the sewer in, because I get to work. Hey, progress is good for the valley.
As long as it's fair.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, if we're going to run the sewer in, you know, allow my property and all the properties down to Rod Churchill's, you know, behind the Safeway, let's all be able to hook in, tie our properties together, and put in condos or townhomes. So we can all go down to Tucson with the wind. You know.
What systems are on this property right now?
That's all, I believe, served by septic.
Yeah, we're all septic.
Mm-hmm. May I ask a question, please, along the line of the flooding? Years ago, on Southport, Mr. Churchill had a permit from the county, and he dredged the river, and we didn't have flooding. But the little flooding there was on the farmlands, and they needed the nutrients. And out on the North Fork, Mr. Riley had a contract, and he also dredged the river. We didn't have flooding problems.
We don't have big salmon spawning rivers up there.
Well, honey, I hate to be a big salmon that could jump the poles.
Our family has property on Issaquah Creek, and they used to take a D9 up the Issaquah Creek and pull it out every year.
The county is considering dredging currently. The county is considering dredging as one of the flood control options. They're doing a study to determine the most effective options for flood reduction.
Now, Mike, as of 3 years ago, I wasn't required to carry flood insurance on our property. 3 years ago, my property in King County changed the flood plan, which cost me $1,400 extra a year. My insurance guy turned it into natural disaster insurance in case the Al-Qaeda takes us out. But, you know, I mean, does that apply across the street? How come, you know, I got to come here to talk to you guys about, because I'm going to unincorporate King County. Explain that one to me.
Well, their office is just over in Snoqualm.
So, I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know.
Well, I think, Mike, I think the good one to address there in Don's question is why North Bend Planning Commission is considering zoning in King County.
Yes. So this is that's a clarification that I need to make on this, is this is not currently in city limits, but we do establish proposed zoning and our land use designations in our comprehensive plan so that when this does annex, the zoning is in place. So that's what's being considered today.
So if something's moved forward on that west side of South Fork 412 and the letter submitted to all of us homeowners on that road, because even if you don't rip them down and put something else up or you remodel what they got, is what I understood what you said, right? They're not for demolition, they're for...
If they wanted to remove the building and build another commercial building, they could only do that in the commercial zoning. They could tear them down, but then the replacement would have to be a single family home.
Okay. Under current.
Under current zoning.
And they'd have to go through King County.
If they were to build now, mm-hmm. before annexation.
So this is a long ways off.
Depending on when they would submit for annexation.
Well, there's an environmental impact on that property anyways. You got a creek on one side and it floods every 100 years, like every 12 months. I mean, you're going to have to bring in thousands of tons of structural fill to get it up out of the flood zone. I'm no brain surgeon, but my boss certainly is. And he says that they can't be doing anything over there.
They would have to meet current requirements, including flood regulations, stormwater regulations, etc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public wishing to speak on this hearing item? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing on agenda item 4C, amendments to comprehensive plan land use designation map, zoning map in North Bend Municipal Code 1810050 concerning properties at 12727 and 12805 412 Avenue Southeast. Okay, Planning Commission, I would suggest we kind of continue along the same lines and take the items up individually if that works for you. Pleasure if you want to go back to the top of the order or how do you want to take
it? I suggest we take C since we just finished talking about it.
Okay.
My thought is right in line with the last comment that was made, which is appreciating the property owners kind of came to us with this request. And I'm assuming legal counsel has said we can actually comment. We're not the jurisdiction for the property. King County is. So until we annex it, or it becomes part of the city, how are we able to even talk about it?
Because our comprehensive plan needs to establish land use designations throughout our entire urban growth area, which is beyond just our city limits.
Right.
So you don't want to...
I was thinking of the docket process, how the docket process is laid out.
Mike, what you're saying is it actually is in our jurisdiction because of the county rules regarding...
It's not in our jurisdiction to permit this project, or a project that would go on this property until it's annexed, but we're establishing just the zoning and the land use designation at this point, so when it does annex, we know what the zoning is.
What if it doesn't ever annex?
Then a project would not come to the city. It would have to be developed under the county.
It would be developed as single family right now, or...
I guess the question that goes with that is, does King County, are they required or are they by practice, they follow the underlying zoning that we establish?
No, under current county zoning, this would be, it's in the urban reserve and they could do a single family home.
Even if we made the change that's suggested?
Yeah, our zoning does not make any difference to the count what they could build under the county zoning.
I mean, if anything, they want them to deliberate on it. Well, is there any local action that they look at?
So what we're really saying is that because it is until annexed, still subject to the King County zoning, it remains until that time the single family zoning. And so the first action of any owner there would have to be an annexation petition.
Correct.
which then brings a whole other public process.
A whole other conversation.
I'm missing. I totally get why a property owner would put it on the street. It's simple. It doesn't cost anything, and they add value just by us saying something. If we kind of bless the idea, even though we don't have the authority to make it happen, I get that. But if annexation doesn't happen for 10 years for some reason, and we called it something that's not appropriate 10 years from now, I'm not seeing the upside for us to go through the process right now and ask City Council to go through the process right now. So
you're suggesting tabling it until later?
In some form, I'm just not seeing the...
Well, I believe their next step, if they want to sell and their buyer wants to do something with it, their next step is going to be submitting an annexation petition.
It seems to me that should have been the first thing they asked.
Yeah.
Even
if they submit the annexation request, they can submit it along with this, right? You know, we'll keep them from doing it as a...
They could submit right now, but they want to sell the property. Their interest is to sell to a commercial buyer, and that commercial buyer is not going to want to annex for a single-family home.
Right. And I also throw in, we're not talking about an unsophisticated property owner here. I would be more inclined to spend the council's time and our time on it if it was truly a citizen of North Bend rather than a corporate entity who knows all what they're doing.
I'm a little confused by the comment.
I'll just call it gamesmanship. This was an easy path. It didn't cost anything to do this. I appreciate the point, but there's a lot of time and energy that the council, including us, are going to spend working with this. The citizens are going to talk to us about it. Really, I don't think we have a legitimate authority to say what it's going to be when and if someday it becomes something in the city. Seems like we're spinning our wheels on something that maybe we shouldn't.
Well, the flip side is streamlining the process, right? So if we take action on it now, then we have plans for when and if that buyer happens. There's already been resources spent to this, so to table it, and just put this out there, is that there's been some brain power put into this already. So putting it off on the horizon, yeah, that's definitely viable. Taking action now for a future state, that's also, I think, unreasonable. And if I'm taking away everything that we're doing correctly, I think that's our plan. That's why we're entertaining this.
Right. Have we gotten any positive feedback from the neighbors?
Yes, the AT&T, the adjacent property owner, said that they do support the proposal.
Yeah. But I mean, the residential.
Anybody else?
No other comment.
The neighbors who were changing.
Unless somehow, like I said, we can all prosper together.
So
we can all become commercial.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
What about, I'd ask about, if that's two of the properties there, and the ones that are outlined in red, and when this is brought to us at first, the question was, is what's the logic of singling out these two that are asking for it versus the last couple little slivers there? Have we heard anything from those property owners?
No, I haven't received any other comment. Mm-hmm.
And everything in the current IMU is on sewer.
I believe so. Yeah.
They'd have to be.
Yeah.
Right. That's the city line also goes around that. Mm-hmm. So, right, that's the dashed line we're looking at. A little different than the direction. I'm still kind of also puzzling over the restricted, the additional restrictions in the performance standards. I think if I understood correctly, what you're saying is that those same restrictions are currently applied to the corner lot? developments in
the area? They're not.
They're not.
No.
So this would be
unique to these two properties.
Unique just to these two properties. And was there any reason for that beyond the current dead-end street?
The current dead-end street, the distance from other commercial services, and not wanting to bring the higher level of activity with retail and restaurant and hotel type of uses down into more of the residential area.
Mike, when this docket request came in, remind me of the process. The submitted happened last year sometime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fees and things tied to that?
No, because this is the docket process. So, it's the free process.
So the staff time spent to come up with this overlay on top of what we're talking about is...
It's a part of the public process.
Okay. Back to my point again.
Which the Planning Commission took up.
Sure that I personally realized that it was outside the zone.
That was outside of city limits.
I'm not sure I would have.
I don't think that was obvious at all. Otherwise, because I'm not even sure I would have said it's been. Would it be as a private docket, but would it be counted like this is more of a future planning thing? It's not in the city now. Was there any talk in the city to consider it yet? I mean, normally, if it is in the city, it seems to make sense that, you know, whoever's bringing a doctor was focused on those properties. But since this is kind of a future thing, it could be 10 years, 20 years, whatever. Was there consideration of taking it, you know, the whole triangle, you know, not just piecemealing it, I guess, since it is a planning thing. It's not...
That is a possibility. I think we want to get certainly the input from those residents because we haven't heard anything from other properties. My inclination would be this is what the request is on the table.
So, Mike, was the...
Meaning versus including.
What's that?
In other words, you're saying the staff wouldn't be suggesting including them because they have not been heard from us.
No.
Yeah.
So, Mike... Under normal circumstances for the public hearing or this sort of thing, the property owners within a certain distance get notified. Right?
That's correct.
So would have all the rest of that triangle been notified?
Just I believe they were,
yeah. The distances are because it could be greater than the distance.
If they're within 300 feet, then they're notified.
So do you know for sure if they were or not?
I've got that back at the office.
I'm curious because that could be greatly impacting if it was only the first guy. And the other guy's 301, that it's like, I think we have to scratch our head and really say, not really a useful conversation.
Well, I don't know. We are the Planning Commission, so we're planning for the future. So I kind of see where, and I was aware that it was out of the zone, so I don't know what miscommunication may have happened there. But I like the spirit of what I think I'm hearing is that if we're going to focus on those two parcels at all, we should consider that entire wedge. Just from staring at a map in a one-dimensional perspective, knowing that everything else on that side is commercial, we've got the highway there, it just stands to reason that that should be part of the consideration set. I like your point about, well, what about the person who's at 301, right? Because they're going to be severely impacted by any sort of decisions that we make now. I can see a sense for tabling with respect to finding out what these other folks think on down on that side. You know, I can definitely support an argument for putting it on some sort of horizon here, but at the same time, if we're going to annex, which is the objective, it would be nice to know what certain zones are what so that we can make those forward movements when they happen. So I think I don't know if I'm coming to a motion here or not, but just putting it out there, it seems like there's some more information that we should gather before we make a decision on that.
In regard to that thing, we're under no obligation to take action tonight. Certainly, that's entirely up to the commission. We can have a motion in a second and deliberate the motion and drop it or approve it or what, you know, whatever. Commissioners feel that they want to do. I've got a couple of additional questions. they may be feeling a little off the wall, but it, in some of the comments regarding our sewer capacity, water capacity, and I know I posed these to you earlier in the week, kind of a different flavor of it came to me as we talk about this and as we're talking about, you know, this sliver of what would otherwise appear to be city residents who are not actually in the city but are surrounded by it. Do city services extend or does the city serve either water or sewer to any properties not in the city limits at this
time? Yeah, it does.
Any feel for what percentage of our...
I don't know. I need to talk to Public Works about that.
They pay that bill like a citizen.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, there's the city's
right.
Water district.
They're not paying district. More or less. They're paying the share as established. By
the city's water district, for example, goes well outside city limits.
Right. There was a water main that actually blew in my front yard, but they had sort of shut off. It was across the highway. Hmm. And the utility, just a few years ago, the utility department, I mean, it was getting pretty deep. And it took them, I don't know, a couple hours to figure out that it was across the highway for the shutoff valves for our side of the road.
So I guess where I was going with my question is in regard to citizen comments regarding services, there's no artificial barrier by a city property line that stops the service, right? In other words, if, as you mentioned, if the residents hooked in that area wanted to petition for ULID to be added into sewer service, the city would welcome that. At least all of use the word welcome. They would be,
I don't,
they would receive that request?
No, I don't know if that happens with sewer.
So what,
water.
So what happened with us in Wood River, we wanted to get into the ULID, and the circumstance of that was to be annexed.
Was what?
Was to be annexed.
Was to be annexed.
We would not have been able to get one without the other.
Right. Okay. So the city's response was, we'll obtain it, provided you're annexed.
You annexed. Yeah. And I think that's also what happened now. I don't know what that word is. So
there's still some annexation.
Yeah. Because they wanted to be part of it too. Yep, you can, but you have to annex.
I guess then the other question that I have is, with the exception of that a petitioner came forward, would the city have been considering this change at this time? Was it on? It wasn't on the city's radar. It came to us because CenturyTel
right.
made
yeah,
the request.
One of the dockets received.
Yeah. And numerous times in our discussions over the last several months, you know, you pointed out to us that next year they're opening up the entire zone. Mm-hmm. And so I guess one of the things going through my head is there anything compelling about this particular request to take action now versus taking it up when we look at the very broad picture? I'm not sure that I've got the answer to that in regard to this particular one, but it's certainly highly on my mind.
In my head, there's just too many reasons to say this is not something that I think we should worry about or take action on in the near term. For a couple different reasons. So within the city limits, I don't think we have enough information about what the rest of the property owners would or wouldn't want to do, and there's just too many different questions in my head.
So it's your feeling coming from a comment that Brendan made a little while ago, that you don't want to take action at all at this time, or that, or just not tonight?
I don't think at all, actually.
They, just to clarify, that within the city limits, whether it's within or without, we are responsible for the land use designations within
right.
our urban growth boundary.
And I get that, and I think in my head,
so now I'll bring the point you just made back a little bit different way. If this party approached King County with the same request, mm-hmm.
we still have to run it through our process. I know King
no.
County wouldn't.
No,
wouldn't
no
go
we
there.
Wouldn't.
No.
They'd, right.
For their own reasons, mm-hmm. but it still comes back to us.
No, it wouldn't come back to us.
Or it wouldn't happen, I guess is what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
The county has the authority to change it, but would have no interest in changing it.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely.
I'll just put a motion out there. I move we don't entertain this docket item until such time as the subject property is part of the city.
Motion to, let's see. Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think from a procedural standpoint if that's actually tabling it or just seeking to deny. And I think what you're really suggesting is to deny the docket until such a...
Well, just deny.
You're just denying, yeah. Your motion's to deny. Mike, would you procedurally that?
Yes.
So yeah. So I would ask Jim if you would rephrase your...
Will you be seconding it?
No. No. But I just want a clear motion. Make sure we understand.
I want to be clear about why I'm doing it, so I'll put that together. I think maybe we'll better this time. So I move we deny this docket, subject to a time when the parcel is part of the city.
So a motion and a second to deny the docket request for amending the comprehensive plan, land use designation map, zoning map, and North Bend Municipal Code 1810.050 for properties at 12727 and 12805, 412th Avenue Southeast. Mayor? Comments? Other
discussion?
I'll speak in favor of the motion. For one thing, when I drove the street, I noticed how narrow it was, and without any of these other commercial uses, it's going to generate quite a bit more traffic on that street, which won't support that. And also hearing the concerns about where the lots flood and transferring that to other lots, because I know a lot of times when we do require local site improvements, that doesn't always take into consideration the impacts to somewhere downstream. So I speak in favor of the motion.
Pondering?
I'm pondering.
I'll add some more flavor if I can. Just for a discussion.
Okay.
I don't have a... If it were part of the city, and this is to my point about sophistication of the property owner, they know that. They had come to us and said, we want to do a partial annexation, we want to go through the process, they want to talk to their neighbors, and they would make a deal, or whatever they do, they would come up with an annexation plan. And that would have made this whole thing not an issue. That's the first piece. The second piece is, if it were ours in the city to deal with it, I've heard enough from the adjacent neighbors to say, wait a minute. So that's where I'm coming from.
I like your last point. And what I've been struggling with is that I like the fact that we can take action on this now so we don't have to think about it again. So if we approve it, it goes through. But that said, the people down at 301 feet, what if there's some other motions and we got to take that up again? So it seems to me that tabling it or following through with your motion just to deny it, that we'll have to revisit it eventually.
Sure.
That's fine.
I can find out exactly just by going on the internet.
And that's where I was wondering where
the 300 feet would be.
Yeah, and that's where I was wondering.
I guess you'll have reached that corner.
With the emotion, because I'm not sure if it sounded more like a tabling, which I would like a date for, and if we're revisiting later.
Well, that's why I asked for clarification. And so to clarify, the motion, as I understand it, is not to table it, it's to deny.
Just deny until annexation.
Yeah. Well, see, when you say until annexation, that's a tabling. So that's why I'm getting confused on that, the latter trailing statement.
So what I would suggest in that regard, Brendan, is that you offer a friendly amendment to remove that piece.
Okay. I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to remove the piece of the specifying the timeline, which was the date of annexation, and just make the motion to deny approving the...
Well, to deny the request.
Deny the request for the amendments to the comprehensive plan, land use designation map, zoning map, and NBMC 18.10.050 concerning 12727 and 12805 for 12th Avenue Southeast, First Century Link request document.
Okay, so Jim gets this. Well, it actually goes to Jim to say whether he accepts or not.
With the greatest respect, I can't accept because I think it's important that the motion make the point that it's not in the city. And that's the piece I'm trying to. That's the overarching piece. But the neighbors were in there too. But we haven't. I mean, there's even a question in our conversation right now. If we've given enough notice to the neighbors.
Yeah, I can find that out.
You mean that property out.
So
So
first, just for the record, clarify. So the friendly amendment was declined. So that's off the table. The original motion stands. Scott?
I think it is our responsibility to consider it in the planning of our process, since it is in our UGA. But I think it's, as we've kind of been discussing it, it's important to consider the whole wedge, and I feel it's fair to piecemeal something that's not in the city now. I don't agree with it needs to be annexed, because I think that it is our responsibility to plan for the UGA, so it seems appropriate that next year when we go through that process that is consideration then, and that's why I disagree with just a part of yours. I do agree that it should be denied, but I don't agree that should be denied and
sold. Because I agree with you, and what I'm seeing there is more of a tabling as opposed to a
Might come back just for a second. So if you table it versus deny it, from the property owner's perspective, when could they come back at this?
I would suggest that tabling it is not. It's a equivalent to denying it, because it's going to be such a long time before it would be annexed that everybody will have forgotten about it at that point. And
frankly, our ability to remember that we've tabled such a motion it would be questionable enough. Because just understanding from a parliamentary procedure, table literally does mean you intend to take it back up.
At that time, right.
Yeah. So I understand. You did understand your motion. I do get that. So I guess so. Where I kind of come in on is kind of closer to what Scott's saying.
The very last, go ahead.
The very last
sliver has no home on it, though.
Okay. It doesn't trouble me that it's not within the city limits, and in fact, I believe wholeheartedly in our responsibility to plan within the UGA. That's why the cities, the county, and the state came up with this plan is for appropriate development, and that is absolutely our charge, is to plan beyond our current city limits, and so in that regard, I think this is a very appropriate action to be in front of us. It also does not trouble me in regard to that they do not go for an annexation first. Would have been nice, and we certainly do go hand in hand, but they, as any other citizen, has a right to use a public process to come before us the way that they choose, and in that timing. So those things don't worry me. I am, as some of the other comments, I'm a little concerned about the overall, you know, looking at two properties in this sliver, so to speak, versus the broader. The idea that I don't see compelling change. Outside of a potential that the property owners expressed, and I do have concerns regarding the roadways as Gary brought up. I should go on the record though that I'm very confident in regard to the storm drainage questions and issues that we do have the appropriate code methods in place to deal with that and ensure that development is done appropriately. And there is always a question of, is it effective? And there are always some questions as to, are there failures, particularly during development versus once the development's complete. Those are really tough. So I'm sympathetic to that. So I guess where I'm falling down is that the way the motion's presented, I don't support, but the overall sentiment is saying we don't need to take it up now. So that's where I'm at. Is there a question for all the questions? So on the motion to deny the request, as previously stated, until such time as it is annexed, all in favor?
Aye.
Assuming, Jim, that you're voting, so that's, I'm hearing three. And opposed?
Aye.
Two against, so the motion will carry.
I didn't get all those votes. Let me just, ayes again. Okay. And you're abstaining?
I abstained.
Okay.
So is this to say that when we do bring all this up next year, that because of this motion, we won't be able to consider those?
No, we can tell.
So that's part of the overall zoning consideration for the city.
Then why wouldn't we just say that? I understand the whole city annexation.
It should just be the move to deny.
Right. Based on that,
that's what I was trying to.
But I wasn't more
the way. I think the reason I stuck on that was, I guess I wanted to be a matter of record that was my greatest rationale, was to say to the process that we should be considering the city boundaries, what goes on in the city, at a greater priority. I'm not disrespecting the plan. We need to be thinking ahead, but this time that gets taken up, your time, is huge. We're swamped,
we know,
as they say.
We are swamped.
So for us to spend time on something like this, and it was a shot in the dark for them, easy thing to do. They're not going to stop asking this question. It's not going to go away. They'll come back in the form. So that's the reason I kept it in there, because I wanted it to be clear from my perspective that it was about the fact. Well, you're not in the city yet. You will be soon, right? So.
Okay, let's move on. We've got two other items to discuss tonight. Let's go for A. All right. Amendments to the zoning map and North Bend Municipal Code 1810 concerning properties on the north side of East North Bend Way, between Cedar Falls, Roundabout, and Thrash. Docket item number two.
Quick question for Brent. We heard public comment that mentioned commercial and high-density residential.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the petition is for high-density residential, if anybody wanted to upgrade that here, we could amend that, or would it not be appropriate?
When the Planning Commission originally took up the docket, they were considering it as a docket for high-density residential. I suppose the Planning Commission could, if they determined, extend that to commercial. That would also require a comprehensive plan land use designation amendment. Right now it's just residential to residential in the comp plan, HDR or LDR to HDR. But that would be in the Planning Commission's purview.
And can you clarify, if we do commercial, is it going to be part of downtown core, or would it be a different commercial district?
Oh, I believe their request was extension of the downtown commercial district.
Thank you.
So Gary, if I can state it slightly differently, make sure, because of that, I'm understanding it as well as this and that. That's why I was asking the questions of the petitioners. So there's been a change in philosophy and thinking, and now I'm not asking just to change to high density, but to change it to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think you just stated, certainly the Planning Commission has that authority within them to make any recommendation regarding the zoning that they want.
The
what
staff
I heard you say, though, well, and I understand the staff recommendation stands, mm-hmm. right? But what I heard you say was that if we chose to recommend commercial that triggered another code change.
Also an amendment to the comprehensive plan.
The
land use map.
So, in one respect, simply another piece of paper. But
it's also open at this point with the other potential amendments.
Right.
We do not need to modify the property owner's adjacent then and change it from that density.
That's actually a good point, that the property owners that were notified about the potential rezone to HDR, not to commercial.
Not about commercial, right?
So,
and I would think it would require re-notice.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process would have to start.
It should, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So should we ask those about that? I mean, because everything they said was commercial.
And I think when you asked him, Rob, he specifically said.
Well, in fact, we do have Mr. Torgerson still with us. Mr. Torgerson, are you following our questions here? I want to ask a question of you specifically. As the one of the lead petitioner of this docket item, what we're deliberating is what came from you originally and what came to us through staff was to change the zoning, still keeping it residential but just going to high density. When Mr. Stringfellow spoke, he said that the two of you had decided that you wanted it to be commercial instead, and I believe that was your comments as well. If you're following, those are very different zoning designations, and so we wanted clarification from you. Are you now asking for commercial?
Well, it was commercial originally. It probably should be restored to commercial. I mean, it takes away some kind of that. If you look on the zoning map, you can see that it's surrounded by commercial. And commercial would be the highest and best use of it. I petitioned for multi-residential because I had a buyer for the property who was willing to put in the senior housing project, but it was time to buy. I'm agreeable almost to whatever you guys decide is going to be done here. Multi-family residential senior housing project would be a good use of the project because you've got Red Oaks close by, you've got shopping close by, you've got walking distance to medical, and so in senior housing.
So, what I believe I heard you say though is that you were content. If it were to move to high density residential, you would prefer commercial, but do you understand that that would probably mean you'd go back to square one?
Probably another year.
Okay.
I would rather not wait the other year. Mr. Stringfellow is that long, is a lot younger than I am. He's got a lot more time to wait. I'm running out of sand. And it's been the fact that down zone, I have no idea. I have no idea how that way, but yeah, spot zone, which is a no no. I'm good with that. But it did happen, and who did it, I don't know. Like anyway, I would settle for multi residential. I have a potential to probably mark the property at some point in time, but I think the city needs multi residential. It certainly needs senior housing project. I mean, that is, I think that's something we're shortage of.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks for the clarification. So,
I lived there for 43 years. The zoning of my property and all of that around there was called general. And that was kind of the catch-all. It could have been commercial, it could have been residential. And then, that was probably 20 years ago or 30 years ago, then they dropped the general.
Thank you. So I think you've all caught that. So still before. So what I'm certainly catching is that if we were to, whether we want to move forward to approve, whether it be tonight or another night or to deny, we need to stick with high density residential. Or we would deny, I guess we would take no action. I don't know, Mike, what would we want? If we wanted to consider commercial, we would simply ask.
It would need to be re-noticed.
Re-noticed.
You could continue discussion, but we need to re-notice it.
Okay.
Another clarification. Yeah.
So under the current, what we're considering, we're not considering the corner property because it was not in.
Well, that could be. That could be added.
Is that we would need to add that, right, to whatever. But what I was hearing is only commercial from that comment, and nothing really toward the multifamily. So I'm not sure that.
Did Mr. Stringfellow's.
Correct.
Right.
Mr. Stringfellow came in and inquired to me about it, and originally from our discussion, he was interested also with the proposal for high density residential.
So, Mike, we heard from the public that they're in the special flood hazard area by FEMA. Are also the properties in question in a special flood hazard area? And if so, doesn't that come into our... what was that big thing we discussed for a year?
Shoreline Master Plan.
Yeah, Shoreline Master Plan.
No, it does not. They're in the floodplain, the general... I don't remember what specific zone. This is the general floodplain zone. And any new development would have to be, if it's a residential development, it would have to be elevated to 2 feet above the base flood elevation. And they'd also have to demonstrate that they're not impacting the base flood.
Thank you.
And then one of the other comments from the public that certainly caught me by surprise was this question mark of the donut hole, so to speak, around the ULID. If I understand, everything on the north side is, well, I shouldn't say everything. The north side of North Fenway is in ULID in this area, correct?
And I don't know, do you guys, are you a part of the ULID?
We purchased a property in the middle.
Okay. Yes, we are.
Talking about now, are you
yes.
subject to ULID?
Yes.
On your properties, okay. And then on south of North Benway, are not the properties on both sides of Cedar Falls?
Yes.
In the ULID?
At least south of Cedar Falls Way. I'm not familiar with this donut hole issue. I wasn't involved in the formation of the ULID or the public process.
So what I was gathering from questions, and it sounds like we don't have all the answers, is that at minimum these properties aren't in ULID, meaning no sewer service. These properties may or may not be. These definitely are.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I can tell you right now, I'm not voting on a motion without that answer. That just seems insane.
That's absurd. Yeah.
Well, the ULID process is separate from what the potential uses are.
Understood.
So any use is still going to have to connect to sewer. It's not going to mean that they can go on septic.
You could zone commercial, and the developer would realize that the best he's going to do is, as it is high density residential, because of some limitation somewhere in the process.
No matter whether it's commercial or residential, they need to connect to sewer before development.
Sure. So, well, I guess let me go at it a different way. Does the property owner who is currently in that donut hole have the ability to pay a hookup fee?
Yeah.
And
yeah, they do. And you can always pay to extend the line to your property. The benefit of forming a ULID is you're doing that collectively, so you're not paying for 1,000 feet of pipe.
Right, it's a disproportionate burden on those property owners. That was what our consternation was about that, and I couldn't understand why in the world that wasn't included.
So the collector line runs on the north side of the roadway.
I believe it goes
down. Or does it go down
Cedar Falls?
That's right.
It goes down Cedar Falls.
And at some point it crosses over to the trail.
It turns to the Forest Service and goes down Thrasher.
It goes down Thrasher, joins the trail.
The line that serves the Parks Department.
property is an extension of a line that runs beyond that services Red Oak.
Correct.
Behind the property is the park.
It's just a little stub line that extends because of the.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
No line, nothing down.
Well, that helps explain your comment, Mike, of that those particular properties then would have the additional burden of footage.
Okay.
Because the line doesn't go in front of the properties. So, okay.
Do we have GIS showing where the sewer lines are? Do we have something?
No, not available on the internet. We do, but not
right.
that I can access.
That would be really helpful to get a sense of.
Did staff in the overall comments that were made? I also heard a few from the public regarding just the types of uses that might be allowed in just if it were high density residential. Did staff consider any restrictions on?
No, we did not. It could be apartments, it could be condominiums, it could be senior housing. It's a multifamily designation. I think one thing to mention is that our design standards that we have in place would result in a fairly quality multifamily product. You're not going to see what you would have typically seen as a garden apartment complex in the 1980s. It's going to have ground level entries, parking to the rear of the unit. A number of provisions from our design standards would make it much more visually appealing than what some of the stereotypical multifamily images are.
I'll make a motion that we pass item A, amendments to zoning map on North Bend Municipal Code 18.10 concerning properties on the north side of East North Bend Way between the Cedar Falls Way roundabout and Thrasher Avenue Northeast. And does that staff include the, was it Mr. Ewing's
property?
Ewing Stringfellow.
I think you'd want to make that clarification.
To include then the additional property that was requested by Mr. Stringfellow.
We've got a motion and a second.
Second.
A motion and a second. Discussion.
I just want to point out something that was that Mike said about the Century Tell property, and I think that we talked about this when the docket came out a while ago. Is so in the Century Tell, when we say there was a question about extending it down the road further. So keeping it to those, and the comment that staff had put in the document was to prevent potential commercial uses from impacting the overall residential character of the neighborhood, that we only recommended doing those two. So I just want to just highlight that the impact. And like that's what the public here tonight was talking about, was if this does get extended to be high density, I think it's more logical than extending to be DC commercial. But just the impact it has to people on the other side of the street. So we put that out there. I think that we just need to be super sensitive because that's what we've heard tonight. Is the impacts.
Well, I'm kind of torn. I'm not inclined to support a high density residential zoning there. I'm more inclined to entertain a commercial zoning. That said, I don't know if I would just need to learn more about a commercial zoning and impact and that process to make an informed decision on that. But frankly, I'm not in line with the support the high density residential zoning. And it doesn't have anything to do with ULRD. I just, for me, what I think of vision long term plan. The traffic that travel down that road every day. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that, but I'm just not seeing a high density residential zone. Either keep it as it is, or we consider commercial.
Scott.
I guess I'm kind of on the opposite side. Where I don't see extending the commercial, I think we need kind of a transition kind of down the way as we have some of the cottage and such. So I'm bored with the current motion.
I wasn't saying I would support the commercial, but I want to know about that.
Sure.
I guess before I come back to the proposed motion, I guess it's interesting. I'm thinking a lot about the folks down Thrasher. Remember when this first came up, that was in. So yep. I'm very pleased they were here tonight, because that was my first thought, is how they would feel in that regard, and as well as the folks on the south side of the road. I also find myself continuing to ponder the big green square that is the Forest Service, and while we don't have any inkling of them moving on, it just seems that at some point
it's going to be obvious at some point
they will.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I step back and I look at our broader map and our broader responsibility, it does frankly seem to me that and you've heard this from me a number of times, is I'm very concerned with the amount and the locations of our current high-density opportunities. And so in that regard, it does feel like it's an appropriate use. It does feel like it does help with the transitional zone. And in that regard, being that it's an up zone, it actually helps. Something that has been troubling me, so in that regard, I'm more inclined. And commercial, I'd have to hear a lot more to convince me. So that's my thoughts.
Call the question.
All right, the motion's been made and seconded to approve item 4A, amendments to zoning map in North Bend Municipal Code 1810 concerning properties on the north side of East North Bend Way between Cedar Falls Roundabout and Thrasher Avenue Northeast. All in favor?
Aye.
See, I got an aye.
Was that an aye?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
I'm opposed.
Motion carries.
And you abstained also?
I abstained. Voting if we need to break a tie. Okay, that brings us to item 4B again, deliberation and possible action on amendments to comprehensive plans and use designation of zoning map concerning properties along these.
Rob, can I just offer one comment?
Sure.
Just for those of you who are leaving, this is again the Planning Commission's recommendation to Council, so this will be going to Council for their final action. You'll have additional opportunity to speak if you wish.
Yeah. They make the final decision, not us.
I appreciate your deliberation, Margaret. I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Torres. Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Mike. Good comment. Okay. East Park Street. Opening.
So the question I have about it is, so we took this previously when the chiropractic business came through, so we did the overlay,
mm-hmm.
so that allows better flexibility, but it doesn't really open it up to what we're proposing tonight to make it
downtown commercial, yeah. So I do want to offer one clarification, that this particular docket did come from staff. It did not come from a citizen. So just bear that in mind, that we did hear significant comment tonight.
Could you bring us to this piece of the map?
thank you for that clarification or mine.
So I'll just say I think this is an easy one for me, but anyone else has questions?
So, Chair, Gary was just noting the map that I have, and I guess shared it at the last meeting. This is what the city sent out. I am a property owner within 300 feet. And, in fact, I should have, I guess, noticed myself in my comments. So, for the record, I should state, yes, I do own property. I don't own property. Yeah, he'll believe me quickly. Last thing he wants is a planning commission. So to clarify, I do not own any of the subject properties. I have an adjacent property within the area, the big red bubble. So that's why I received the notice. I do not own property actually impacted by it. And so therefore I feel that I can indeed make an unbiased judgment. Actually, any action there would not impact my property. But I'm glad I made that clarification.
Thank you.
Sorry, I think maybe I interrupted you.
No. I was almost ready to make a motion. I just said that I felt like this was a pretty simple and straightforward one for me, but I didn't know if anybody else was.
It's actually not for me. No, so okay. I guess I'll speak to that. I guess a couple of reasons, and one, again, that I just stated, zoning this over, to commercial, while yes, it allows for residential to remain part of our understanding, of course, in having these zonings, is that the highest and best use is what will likely prevail, and so I would see it going more commercial. I shared with you last time, and as was pointed out by the public, the majority of the properties are still residential, and including quite a few single-family homes, not just the multifamily homes that are along there. I'm more concerned with preserving the south side than I am with the north, which I do see as having already much gone commercial. But I guess one of the questions I found myself asking as I looked at it and recalling that it was put forward by staff was again that question of why now? As we've been advised many times, we're going to look at the whole kit and caboodle next year, and in the absence of an application by a property owner here, I didn't see a compelling need to change it right now, and I, for one, would just like the additional time to think that through and to gather additional information. So that's where I am.
So Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, what I remember is when the original participant or petitioner came in, we had to do a temporary overlay district for that use.
It wasn't a temporary, but we did it because we couldn't do the comprehensive plan amendment at that point.
And so will this be that comprehensive plan amendment?
That's what this docket would have carried forward.
Okay. So again, just, I kind of stated it as fact, but just go ahead. There is no current owner request.
No. No, and I think even I might extend that to say that staff is pretty ambivalent on this. It expands the uses to the property owners, but at the same time, I think we heard a lot of comment tonight that people are concerned about potential change in character of the neighborhood and traffic and so forth. Those seem like valid comments.
So we don't have a compelling need.
No.
Staff's in. Okay. You mentioned increased traffic on the road. Is that by traffic study or just observation?
That's by observation, and I think the traffic counts during the transportation element confirm that when we updated the transportation element with turning movements and so forth at intersections.
Do you know when the times of traffic counts were taking place, the times of day?
I think it's
Was it during peak?
Was it daily?
daily and what times during the day?
We did, like, I think they did twos, which were collecting every hour during the day, but then the analysis was focused on it.
You usually send out the potential observers, right?
Right.
That also is slightly out of the topic zone, but again, I try to look at a broader picture. I don't understand this piece of ground.
You mean what it is? Or
it does not come up as any ownership.
It's an odd one. You know what that is? Is it's a remnant of when the proposed I-90 was going to go through downtown. And the state once owned it. And then they changed plans and they turned it over to the county. And so now it's half owned by the county and half owned by still the state.
Is that the dividing line?
Yes. Actually, no, that dividing line is not accurate. The dividing line is horizontal.
So what's particularly confused me was that I went to every site I could to try and discover the underlying property, and it comes up as no property number whatsoever.
Yes. And I think that might be because it's considered a right-of-way still.
Yeah, that's the way it appears on the maps. It looks like Quellett or it's colored. It either is colored like park or it's colored like roadways, mm-hmm. depending on which map you're looking at.
That happened in 1981. The state surplused all that property. The parcel behind my property was surplus property.
It dodged a bullet with that one, didn't it? So, again, I was just kind of off the wall because I was looking at a lot of the properties surrounding that zone, and then it suddenly struck me that, wow, what a neat park extension. So, anyways, that's, as I say, I've diverged, but it seemed to me to relate it to what we were considering.
We could do that and take one little notch of the park right there and make a downtown parking extension for the residents.
If I could add one little piece of history, about 30 years ago, there was a proposal in the council to extend Cedar Falls Way, all those apartments when they weren't there, mm-hmm. extend it right straight through and connect to Park Street and make an alternative to this downtown traffic problems.
Oh, interesting.
But it, like a lot of good things, it died for lack of second.
Also on that property, the state, when my husband and I bought back the portion that the state had purchased from the original property, just before they put it up for sale, the county came in and assessed everything about 10 times higher than what the original payment was, so we had to pay just about 10 times more to get that piece of property.
Sorry, I did diverge.
It's fascinating, though. I got to learn some Northern history.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. We should get more often, Scott.
I mean, my comment, you know, in response to the traffic, and, my thought is that, you know, if it does go to the commercial, I think it will actually help me calm me what's going on right now. Because there's an opportunity to create more of a feel of what we have as kind of diverging traffic to that anyway. I mean, we made some infrastructure decisions that promote the traffic to do what they're doing today, and we're only going to encourage that more with the roundabout that's planned to make things easier for folks to make, you know, rights and lefts off the park. So I think from that perspective, when looking at the traffic, now parking is always an issue. Is it? So any new downtown development does have to accommodate, obviously, other than what's...
Except on North Bendway, in a certain defined area, you have to provide off-street parking for your development.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone in one of the single-family homes today decided that they wanted to go stand up some cafe or something, you would have to have either on-site parking or something on the street sufficient.
You can meet your parking requirement with spaces on street immediately in front of your mm-hmm. development, mm-hmm. but that's not usually sufficient to meet your parking demand.
Because, yeah.
For commercial development.
Yeah.
For commercial. Okay.
But I would just like to add that, you know, I think you make a great point that since we are going to go through this whole planning thing,
next year. And I guess because of that, if we weren't, then I think I would, you know, make a different opinion. But there is nobody currently asking us to. So maybe it doesn't make sense to, it doesn't seem to make sense to me to put that, so I guess, make that decision. If we are going to go through the process and really take a step back and look at everything as a whole, it may be more appropriate to do that piece in that context.
I mean, it would be an easier decision than we would have to sit and deliver.
Well, I guess the flip side of that is if we, if we decide on it now, then it's one less thing that's on our table.
Sure. It doesn't make the process then any easier.
Exactly. It's like it's putting a huge amount of responsibility on the horizon that is coming.
I've got a question. When staff sat down and said, where do we stop, where do we start? I can see the northerly, west logic. What about the south boundary, and particularly this, the lot to which seems to be the south, north, whichever way it is?
About get up a point.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, I've got the mouse here, are you talking about this one? That's why is it excluded?
Opposite side of the zone you change.
Over here.
Skinny piece,
this
yeah.
thing.
So you stop there.
Yeah.
I'm just curious of.
I think because.
Some logic.
I think it was just an extension of if you're going to do things on Park Street, that's a part of Park Street. That's currently.
Everything that touched Park Street for the most part.
Is that where Edelweiss is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's apartments, and apartments are also an allowed use in the downtown commercial zone.
And the one that's excluded is actually the town Parkside Park Place townhouse, correct?
Yeah.
And why include Edelweiss and not?
I think because that one is a little further off of Park Street, you wouldn't want necessarily commercial development down
tucked
in there.
Back in.
Yeah.
Okay, so Park.
So the other thing that's there, is it the occupational health or the...
There's a dentist office there. There's a chiropractor wellness facility. Office. One other, I can't remember offhand what it was. Some kind of insurance type of thing.
Mm-hmm. This large, I think it's parking. Two questions, so...
I have to get up.
Great, Mike. Laser pointer next time. Seems like there's a big parking area here.
Yeah.
A parking lot. City parking lot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of buffers this. The trail comes this way, and then this space is asphalt
right.
parking.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a turnaround, right?
That's the depot park there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, because that's the depot station is
okay.
there.
I'm just looking at these odd spaces. This is a lot of
just
street widths
street,
and different
yeah.
things that are there. You basically got a, if you include the parking that's not mentioned here, you've got this stretch here.
That's not a road there, though. That's
all crosses
the park directly adjacent to the residences. It's
well,
another,
I understand it's not connected.
That's another odd remnant of right-of-way. It was the old railroad turnaround. So the tracks used to go back there, and that's why the right-of-ways are all strange in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a driveway where it looks like
and
a lot is, because there's King County property on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah, just King County property.
And Mike, would you point that out, would you then also Postal Service property?
Yeah, this green right here is the Postal Service property, and that's another one of these similar dockets, which we'll be considering at a future meeting. To rezone that one to downtown commercial. And for the reason being that if the post office closes or converts to another use, it's actually not owned by the post office. It's
so
private.
Is that
owned.
Our docket the
it is,
that
yeah.
Then that makes it this conversation change. We should have those two together.
I don't know.
Well, if we've got a spot zone.
One of the things that I think in the downtown core. You can have the apartments, but you can also have a mixed-use building where you have commercial on the bottom and then nice apartments or condos above.
Yeah.
And so I don't get a lot of the same sentiment. You know, I think the parking and the street traffic is huge. I think we ought to have Sheriff Toner get some speed enforcement on the street.
But other than that, I don't see why the zoning would really overly impact the area.
I think a comparison for this would be Sydney. Sydney is in the downtown commercial zone, but it's, and it also has a similar connection in that people coming off of 202 will take Sydney to shortcut the light on Bendigo. Mm-hmm. They'll do that. And this is developing as a residential neighborhood. It's not developing as commercial. We're getting more houses on that. So that's a possible scenario also for Park Street, even if it were to convert to downtown commercial.
In the interest of time...
Sorry. I'm just going to clarify. Okay, this has always been fascinating to me. So whatever the zoning is, the property owner can always do something less.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As long as that's a permitted use within the zone. And single family is a permitted use in the downtown commercial zone.
I'm ready for it to hear.
Anybody else? Well, I will make a motion to pass item B, amendments to comprehensive plan, land use designation, and zoning map concerning properties on East Park Street, docket number 5.
Got a motion and a second.
A second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Vote. All in favor of the motion to approve?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Opposed.
Yeah, I opposed it.
I can't abstain.
You can always abstain, but I just need to know what it is. I got right now. I only know 3 votes.
Abstain.
He's, yeah.
And Jim's gonna abstain. So we've got 2 against, 1 in favor. Scott.
In favor of the zone.
So that leaves us at a tie. So that does put me to a vote, and I will vote to deny. So the motion fails. Includes the items on the agenda. Anything else for the good of the order?
So I have a question regarding, probably a month ago, now it's probably been 2 months. So the downtown, the request from the person to do the tattoo parlor in the business. So I thought that was the planning commission, and so just because I was out of town, so it actually happened. There was a hearing.
They had to do a hearing at the council, because the council took an emergency action which required a hearing.
Right.
But it is coming to the planning commission at your very next meeting.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't been set in stone yet.
No.
That's still okay. So that's something that's going to pass.
Can I tack on to that one?
Sure.
Yeah.
So at the time that was first brought to our attention, I requested that when that does come to us, that we have council representation to explain their action.
Okay.
So if you would remind, I think that's Gene Peterson, right?
Yeah, it's the CED Council Committee member, or the chair.
Yeah. I personally would most like to hear from the person who made the motion and got, you know, council would go along, but
well,
whoever would come, please.
The emergency, I thought that Jenna had said that the emergency thing was brought to them from staff. That's how it got initiated, right?
The motion came, well, staff has to bring forward.
Who made the motion at council is what I was saying.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm presuming that was the person who was most passionate about it. That's why I was thinking it would be best to hear from that reasoning. But, I mean, obviously, the appropriate person is probably the liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other question I have, did the cottage stuff that we did that already go through council? The change, it was the allowing single-family homes, cottage, residential that we...
Your recommendation went to council, mm-hmm. and the council heard additional public comment.
Oh, okay.
And the council wanted to consider that additional public comment.
Okay.
And what we don't know yet, we need to actually talk to our legal staff, is to find out, does it at this point need to come back to the Planning Commission, or is it just that they've heard your recommendation and now can consider additional?
Because there's input. Additional public comment. Mm-hmm.
So we don't know that answer to you. It may come back to you.
Okay.
It may not.
Okay. All right.
So on the tattoo issue, Vondi Lindell, our city administrator, is actually going to be bringing the tattoo issue to you at your next meeting. So she'll be here to present that.
That'd be nice.
One of the questions I had, Mike, was kind of where are we in the world against our perceived plan that we started with? We're halfway through the year now.
Yeah, and we're about halfway through the dockets.
We have been keeping pace.
Yeah.
We've
got the big one still ahead of us, which is going to be the Tanner Pit. I think that'll be a one that's quite interesting to the residents around there.
And I guess my last question is just all the are there additional public hearings that are taking place regarding the Wood River horseshoe stuff?
Public hearings on projects, do you mean? Or
well, because there were the changes put forth, there was public comment period, I thought there was just going to be a public hearing or...
On the projects, yes. The public hearings haven't been held yet. No.
So nothing is in progress yet.
We did do the SEPA determination for Miners Ridge. You got a copy of that. It's a mitigated determination, non-significance.
Okay.
The hearing for that plat will be scheduled probably within the next several weeks.
Okay. So that's just for the 28 mm-hmm. on the north side.
Yeah.
So no other conversation about the 12?
We're still waiting for information from them on title issues.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Oh, you have something?
I got one more question, if I may pause. Mike, I'd also ask if we could get an update, or just, from Public Works, I guess, would be the most appropriate on, sewer capacity, water capacity.
I'd love to see the sewer layout.
Maybe Frank could come and chat with us, because I thought and I was having those questions even before a lot of public comment tonight. And it just had crossed my mind that even though we try to take a pretty broad perspective at things, we are looking at chunk. And as I was looking at all of them, I thought, I wonder how we are tracking against sewer capacity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And at some point, improvements to the systems will be required.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of determining at which point.
Exactly. And that was kind of the question. So it'd be great to hear about that.
Yeah, I'll add to that comment, because I'm assuming the planning process includes thinking ahead on that. It'd be a shame to go through the zoning changes that we're making, will be in the comp plan coming up. I have tons of permits in, ready to go, and then we say, oh, we can't do it, we got to fix the sewer line. Fix the station. And I see it coming. It's like, we're giving them the water, let's go. Oh, now we're out of sewer. I mean, that's the dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that way the next dance. So that made a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
9:26.
All favor.
Aye.
We're out.
By the first round, if anyone shows up,
wow.
We wouldn't pass that.